Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast. I am your host tonight, Jim Delfino. I am joined tonight with Jeremy Schilling, and I am also joined with Chris Mad Dog Felico. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well.
Good, Jim. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Another wonderful Red Sox victory from another starter that we just got this past offseason. That had a quality start, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 Ks against a formidable ally or, you know, enemy in Tampa Bay, who, you know, really owned us quite a bit over the last few years. What are your guys' thoughts on tonight's win? And give me your takes. Jeremy, why don't you start us off?
I mean, to me, they're doing just enough to kind of stay on the fringe of being able to have the time to get back in this thing. Before I get to my ultimate point, really nice, obviously, to see Mayer hit the 2 home runs, identical location on those pitches, identical landing spots on those pitches, for him to get his hands through a ball. And I know it wasn't on the corner, but it was in. For him to barrel that with that sort of exit velo was really impressive and a good sign. But it's one game, you know, we need to see consistency from a number of people in this lineup to find measured success. And that's my ultimate point, is they're doing enough to win these series. And I give them credit for that, but they're not consistent enough in the major phases of the game, hitting, pitching, running the bases, and defense. And so unless they can find the consistency needed to run like 6 in a row off, they're going to be kind of on the outside looking in as we get towards, well, we're playing game 65 tomorrow or Friday, I'm sorry, something like that. So that's where I'm at. It's nice that they're winning these. It keeps me invested, but I just don't see a long winning streak coming to get us back in this thing.
Chris.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat as Jeremy. I think it's encouraging that they won the last two series, because I think going into it, we all thought it was, you know, a good chance we probably get swept by the Yankees. Best case scenario, lose 2 or 3. We ended up winning 2 or 3. I think we all kind of were reserved in trying to say what was going to happen with the Rays, but I think we all figured it was not going to go well, especially coming off of a series where we thought the Yankees were to smoke us. So to take 2 or 3 from both teams was positive. I think what I like about this series versus the Yankees series is the way we beat the Yankees is not sustainable in the least bit going forward. There's no way we're going to win football games with these scores going forward. And then obviously that carried over into the first game, and it looked like we had a chance to win. obviously we didn't. We lost our typical 1-2 run game in extra innings. I like what I saw the last two games, and was ironic is it was probably from the two pitchers that we expected the least from in the series. I think all of us would have agreed our best shot was probably Bayo out of the three, just looking at the pitchers for getting that, who the Rays were putting on the mound. But, you know, obviously having all the kids up, Giolito thought he was in Worcester, so that worked out. And then obviously the pumpkin spice beers that I sent up, worked out for Walker Buehler, so you're welcome. But yeah, I think going forward, I don't know what to expect. I don't necessarily think it's the most sustainable. They're going to string off a bunch of victories, like Jeremy said, but they're doing just enough where we're like just watching to see if there's a heartbeat left.
Yeah, so I am probably maybe more of the bigger heel than even you guys, but so I'm not going to drink the Red Sox Kool-Aid yet. Here's the reason why. I think it's the most frustrating team in the last three or four seasons. The last few years, we really didn't have much in the way of hope. There was really the idea that they just were not going to be competitive enough. You came into this offseason in the beginning of this year, and there was really a thought from a lot of people that they were going to be contenders. They were going to be possibly in it for the American League East title. There's some people even on this podcast that thought they were going to win 95 ball games. And the reality is that they've been so frustrating, and a series like the last two against an American League East contender, an opponent on both ends of that, when you can take two out of three from Tampa, two out of three from the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, I don't know if I'm happy about that or I'm even more frustrated, because the reality is that it shows you they're capable of actually winning these types of games, which is so frustrating when you go and really just stink it up against the Anaheim Angels. You stink it up against the Chicago White Sox. You get swept by Detroit, which, okay, they're in first place. I'll give you that. But they really can't seem to get out of their own way. And I know they've had some ups and downs with injuries, but, you know, again, there's already talk about Roman Anthony not playing this weekend. So, you know, there's got to be something more consistent. They've got to let these new guys hit against left-handed pitching if they're going to be the future. And they've got to get more quality starts out of the rotation. We can't have this up and down with Buehler, the up and down with Giolito. I don't know if this is a Bailey problem or this is just, you know, lack of talent. I don't know what it is, but this is not sustainable to both your points. They've got to get better starting pitching. The bullpen has had, Weiser looked good today. Chapman's been good virtually all season. I just don't know if they can put it together fast enough to really peck off, you know, a game in the standings, at least one game every week, and try to get into this thing by the trade deadline, because that's really where it's at now. This is the next step, is if you're going to be within shouting distance of that trade deadline, because if you're not, then you got to start talking about moving pieces. You know, would they move Chapman? You know, there's a couple other guys that they could move there. So not that I really want to talk about that. I just don't know if they can really put it together and save this season.
Well, to answer one of the questions that you had, whether you intended to ask it or not, is Andrew Bailey. There's no doubt we have an Andrew Bailey problem. There's enough, because I think Giolito and Buehler, like this is kind of Buehler, where during a regular season, he gets hidden on a good team and then pitches his butt off in October. May not be the case with Boston, because we may not play in October. Giolito, I don't think anyone knew what to expect coming off the surgery that he's coming off of, although that doesn't necessarily seem to be inhibiting him from being able to perform. It might just be a talent problem for him. However, when you look at a pitcher like Bayo, when you look at one like Houck, they both are not elevating their game since Andrew Bailey got here. And we have enough of a sample size of other pitchers like Pivetta, and then we obviously still have Whitlock, where he's not elevating, and then Pivetta's gotten better since he left. So I do think there's enough evidence here to suggest we do have an Andrew Bailey problem. How that rectifies itself, if it will rectify itself, I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah, no, good point.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Yeah.
Jim, my takeaway from the end of your comment was they have about 6 weeks to show the organization that they should be buyers. And in that 6 weeks, there's enough time for them to chip away and to get within shouting distance so that you can't sell to this fan base selling Chapman. You know, enough time, I think, to at least make it interesting there. Mature to be talking about the deadline. This has to be 6 weeks of good baseball. Like you said, one game a week. And if you're within three games or so of that last wild card spot, the fan base is going to put pressure on this team to continue to push towards the playoffs as we get into August and September.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. It's not that I really wanted to bring up anything about trading these guys already, but it is something on the back burner to start looking at if they can't get themselves back into this. Obviously, it's going to be a big weekend. If they can somehow sweep the Yankees, that's a big, huge change because now you're going from 8.5 out to 5.5 out. Unfortunately, winning 2 out of 3 really does much for you because it's only a one-game swing. So, you know, hopefully they can surprise us, but we'll see. I did want to talk about Abraham Toro.
Jim, before you leave that, though, and I understand the goal is always the division, but let's get in the playoffs and have that. Well, I know it's low bar, but that's part of my preseason prediction. Let's first get a spot. If we're within shouting distance of the Yankees in September, great. Let's go do what we can to win the division. This team needs to make the playoffs. They got to put a stop to the stink that's been going on year in and year out. It's not that they're just not winning the division. They're not even shouting. They're not even in shouting distance of the playoffs. Just get in the playoffs and start building a winning culture because you have the guys up now. You have the kids up. You have a bunch of people on this roster that don't know how to win. And so if they ascend to the playoffs, and even if they don't go far, but they get there and they understand what playoff baseball is like, then now you're building to where you can expect a challenge for the division in 26. So I think my needle's a little bit different than yours, but you know, I just wanted to chip in there before you change the subject on it.
And I want to add my 2 cents on that too, because I'm in between both of you, because I agree, like, yes, pragmatically and logically, yeah, getting 2 out of 3 doesn't do much for my numbers because of the hole that we've dug, Jim. So I agree with you. Where I think I lean towards Jeremy here, especially, like, I live in New York, right? So I hear Yankees talk, whether I like it or not, on sports radio. And the one thing I will add, and it's already kind of a sense, you know, amongst Yankees fans in the New York media, is the sense that even if we can't catch them in the division, right? If we take 2 of 3 in 2 series in a row and we get that momentum, because a lot of Yankees fans and the New York sports media expected us to be the biggest challenge to them, we start to create doubt for them, right? Not maybe for the division, because that might be too far to reach. However, if we do meet them in the playoffs, whether it's a wild card, whether it's, you know, in a best of 5, whatever the situation is, best of 7, if we could prove that we can hang with them in these games, regardless if we win the division, the way things have gone for them and the fact that we own so many of their starting pitchers, like, that's going to create a lot of doubt for them, especially after what happened in the playoffs last year. So.
Now, look, I understand where you guys are coming from. I just don't, I don't subscribe to the mediocrity standpoint. So it's like, I go out there to win and win every game. You know, second place is the first loser. So, you know, I want all three. You know, I'm greedy that way. I've been following,
if you, you know, first,
I've been following this team for 45 freaking years. You know, I accept nothing less than the best. Anything less than the best is a felony, you know? So, that's my take on that. But just switching gears for just a couple minutes, I wanted to talk about Abraham Toro, if you guys don't mind. I put a tweet out today, and it's probably going to get a lot of excitement. It was basically showing his numbers against Tristan Casas, but you guys can see that on Twitter. What I wanted to discuss is he for real? Like, I mean, are we just really seeing, you know, some sort of Easter egg type guy here that's just getting very lucky? It's 23, what does he have, 26 games now? You know, and he's really contributing quite a bit. 322 batting average, I think, was going into today. On base percentage of 347, slugging 544, and OPS around 900. What do you guys think? Is this feast or famine? Is he for real, or is he a suspect? What do you think?
Well, all those things have increased since today. So he's a 330 average, 354 on base, and 574 slugging. To answer your question, Jim, I don't know. Is he for real? It's still a very small sample size. What I can tell you I know for sure is he's a hell of a lot more meaningful of a contributor than Tristan Casas. That I can tell you. That we can't even argue because the sample sizes are so similar to this point, which I don't know if that's more of a, all right, Toro's emerging into something we didn't expect, or is that really an indictment on Tristan Casas is not even a platoon player at this point, right? So, like, the truth's probably somewhere in the middle. I'm pleasantly surprised at this point at what we've gotten from him and Roby Gonzalez. And I think, you know, to Jeremy's point, once we start getting closer to that deadline, if we're in a buyer mode, a lot of it's going to depend on how those guys are still performing and contributing to whether they're going to just be platoon guys or are they going to be a fixture for the rest of this year in a development year or a chase for a wild card position.
Jeremy.
I mean, I'll just say this for Casas, who's the ultimate talk about a guy and not, you know, do the thing. I don't even know. I don't know that I've heard Toro's voice, but the guy just goes out there and hits. And I keep waiting for him to go 0 for 8 or 0 for 10 or whatever. And it's not happening. And guy, he's got some pop. That ball he hit the center field tonight, that's not a cheapie. I mean, that's a big time, strong home run. You know, I don't love his athleticism in today's modern baseball, but he's a set it and forget it until he proves otherwise. And by the way, we don't have any other options. It ain't going to be Devers. Roman Anthony, they didn't even consider. There's no other options, guys. It's him and Romy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that was a really that was a big blast today from Toro. It reminded me a little bit about Hanley Ramirez's home run against the Yankees back when he was with the Red Sox. He had a blast to dead center like that. The other thing, too, about Toro, he's got three errors on the season. Casas had two errors on the season. Two of them for Toro were at third base, one error at first. So he's also not really being a liability defensively. So that's another thing, too, that we could put another feather in his cap, because not only is he contributing offensively, but he's not a wreck at first base either. He's not a wreck at third. But, you know, I've been pleasantly surprised with his defense. You know, he doesn't seem to make too many boneheaded mistakes. And even in plays that don't involve the possibility of an error, even today with the Weissert deal, you know, he didn't throw the ball away when Weissert couldn't pick it out of off the grass. So I think he's got some baseball acumen there.
He also had the pick on the Story Jeter jump throw, made that look really smooth.
Yeah, I think in the last five games too, he's had like 21 at bats. He's only struck out twice. Like, and that may not seem like that's that big of a deal. I mean, we've got guys that strike out double that in a night, right, in one game. So in five games, to see have that many at-bats and not strike out is pretty impressive, especially considering the teams that we just played, two teams that look like they're going to be in the playoffs. But he doesn't draw a ton of walks. That, I would say, is probably the only indictment that I would see in his game right now. And then to Jeremy's point, his athleticism isn't always necessarily the best. But I think right now you gotta ride him until he proves that we can't.
Yeah, I agree. So talk about Meyer a little bit today. Two home runs, both, you know, I know we touched about a little bit earlier in today's show, but I want to kind of circle back to that a little bit. So first multi-home run game, both of them, you know, to right field. What are your takes on Meyer's two home runs and what do you think we can expect from him in moving forward?
To me, it's just nice to see him get off to a hot start here and not be fighting like a 180 batting average while he's trying to prove himself in the big leagues. We saw with Campbell, who had a hot start, that it doesn't mean he's going to win the Rookie of the Year, but he's been a boost. We won the game today because of him. Yesterday was Roman Anthony's turn. Today is Meyer's turn. he's played a decent third base, you know, playing out of position, really, in my opinion. I think that's the best you can expect from a rookie who was only at AAA for about a month last year before he got months this year. I mean,
Chris?
Yeah, I've been impressed with him defensively, especially playing out of position, to Jeremy's point. I think as far as the hits tonight, you know, what I do like about Mayer is he doesn't take a lot of first pitch strikes. He may swing and miss, but he doesn't take them. And it's one of the things that I'm not necessarily impressed right now with Roman Anthony. He takes a lot of first pitch strikes that I feel like he should be trying to hack at, especially with him trying to get out of the funk right now. But I think, honestly, Roman Anthony coming up has been a huge help for Mayer, right? I think there was a lot of pressure on Mayer, especially with Campbell struggling. He comes up and he's like, all right, I'm one of the guys. I got to have an impact because my guy here is struggling. Especially with the hot start that Campbell got off to. The fact the two balls that hit were pitches that he saw earlier in the at-bat, and to Jeremy's point earlier, he drove them almost to the exact same spot. Very similar exit velocities, launch angles. I think one of them was 410 feet. One was like 418 feet, almost the exact same spot of the stadium. So I was very impressed with him. He's probably been, I get Roman Anthony's only been up for one series, but out of him and Campbell, considering how hot Campbell got off to as far as a start, I like the adjustments that I've seen from Mayer in the couple of weeks that he's been up. Because he got off to a little bit of a rough start, got some momentum, league made a couple of adjustments, and he's starting to make them right back. And I do personally feel like Roman Anthony coming up here is taking a little bit of pressure off him, which is a good thing for him.
Yeah, I mean, that very well may be the case. The other thing I like about Marcelo Mayer is defensively, you know, he looks pretty solid. You know, again, there hasn't been much in the way of errors. He doesn't look like he doesn't understand the game. It's one of the biggest things that I have trouble with some of the players on this team is that they seem pretty stupid when it comes to the actual play of the game, not knowing how many runs have been scored by Rafael the other night, things like that. Mayer seems to be like a classic baseball player. Like if you go back in time and you think of like a gritty type of baseball player, he seems like he fits that mold pretty well. I don't see that aspect with a guy like Campbell at this point. We don't know what Anthony's going to be like, but you know, he just seems like a type of guy that, you know, is going to be, I'm not saying Dustin Pedroia-esque, but he kind of has some hints to Petey a little bit in that regard. But I've been really impressed with him. But here's a question for you. So Bregman comes back, and it looks like he may come back earlier than we think, you know, from some of the reports I've read. He goes back to third. Now what? Story's been hitting. What do you do?
I send Campbell down to AAA and put Mayer at second base. As we are currently sitting right here, right now, a week ago, 10 days ago, I would have told you DFA or fake IL Story and put Mayer where he should be, which is shortstop. But as the ebbs and the flows of the season happen right now, I would say that's the move. Campbell down and Mayer to second.
Well, Jeremy, let me ask you, why not move Story to second, just out of curiosity?
That's mine. Yep.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Because that's my thought.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think as spooked as Campbell looks right now sometimes at the plate, and to your earlier point, Jim, I agree with you. I think Mayer, out of the three of them, he's like all reliable. Like he doesn't make flashy plays defensively, but he makes the plays he's supposed to, and there's no surprises there. Campbell looks shocked at the plate sometimes, uncomfortable, and defensively, even when he was hitting, he's looked uncomfortable and made some boneheaded plays that have almost cost us some games. And then Roman Anthony, like just in the limited sample size, makes a terrible play. And then the next night makes a spectacular catch that everyone's, you know, raving about. I think the move is you put Story at second, which, I mean, listen, he intended on playing second when he came up here when Bogaerts was still on the team. So he's got some familiarity here playing that position. I know he knows long-term Mayer is supposed to be the shortstop. Campbell just needs to get his head back on straight, and I think we're better for it as a team overall.
Yeah, I mean, look, my initial idea would be to put Story at second, because I think defensively, he just doesn't have the arm reliability, every game to be a shortstop anymore. He's made some nice plays, but there's some other ones that he should have gotten runners out at first that, you know, he just doesn't have the arm strength like he once did. If you take his offense and defensive abilities at this point in his career as a shortstop and you transplant him back to second, I think you've taken an underachiever and could actually put him into an overachiever. I know that's a stretch, but I think you could at second base. Number one, he doesn't have to have the as long of a throw from most of second base to first. He can still turn double plays fine, and he played it the first year he was here with Bogarts. So I don't see a problem with that. Now you put the future shortstop in your organization for probably the next 7 to 10, maybe even longer years, and you put him where he belongs at short. Let him get good at short, and then Bregman is at third. And defensively, you know, with Toro, like I said, not being, you know, a complete disaster at first defensively, you'd have a pretty good defensive infield at that point. To Jeremy's point, I mean, you know, Christian Campbell, I still love the kid, but he's been a nervous guy at second base. Every time that there's a play involving him, you almost kind of like want to like close your eyes because you just don't know what's going to happen. Unlike Meyer, you know, it seems like he's pretty steady. So their biggest issue is by giving him that contract, that $60 million. I don't know if that's going to impact bringing him back down to the minors or not. I really wish they didn't do that this early. But again, you know, they thought they got lightning in a bottle, and that's how the Red Sox roll. They always seem to do things, you know, the way that most teams wouldn't. And, you know, they're doing something wrong all the time. But that's the defensive lineup that I would put out there. Story at second, Meyer at short, Bregman at third.
I don't disagree with you, and I think the contract's still fine. It's not so, you know, it's not $120 million or something. It's that right at that number where if he's still struggling in 2 years, you're going to find someone that's going to see if a change, you know, motivates him or reignites him. It's all about the leadership for me and that conversation and the message sent to the player. Take the pressure off. Go down to AAA, get your swing back, get your timing back. We'll see you in 2 to 4 weeks.
I've got an interesting thought depending on Bregman's health. And then I have a question for you guys to spin off this, unrelated. Let's assume Bregman's in a position where he can potentially come back a little bit sooner off this injury. Granted, knowing the amount of range of motion he might need to play third base, is there a chance where if he can come back a little bit sooner, knowing that it's a little bit less tasking to play first base, is there a consideration to put him at first and leave the rest if it means getting him in the lineup sooner?
Yeah, Terry said that, I think, in the chat. I don't know if I would. I think I'd want him back with the ability to play third base and be able to be, you know, in as good major league form as you'd want him to be. It would be a different story, I think, if we had, you know, someone who was just DHing right now that was like, you know, Yoshida or Toro, or you were doing a revolving door of DHs and Devers was already at first, and say, well, let's DH Bregman when he comes back until he's ready for third base. That would be a different story. I would go with that. But no, I think I would want him in peak form playing third base. You move Meyer over to short, you move Story to second, and let's go.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
The reason why I don't like it, Chris, is if you're putting him at first, because he's something less than fully healthy and able to play third, you're risking losing him for the rest of the year. You got to hold him out, whatever it takes, another 5, 7, 10 days, and get him fully healthy and put him where he should be. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Switching gears a little bit, you got a 3-game series at home against the Yankees. I was actually supposed to go to Friday's game. I had tickets, so I can't make it. So, but a buddy of mine is going. So we got Garrett Crochet Friday night at 7 o'clock against Ryan Yarbrough. With Saturday's game is also at night on Fox. Hunter, I don't want to be a Yankee Dobbins against Rodon. And then Sunday, Brian Bayo against Freed. Thoughts on that series? What are your expectations? How are we going to do?
Go ahead, Drew.
I mean, you better win the Crochet start. You better win the Crochet start. If they didn't just beat them, I'd say it's going to be bad. But they're playing okay. They're finding ways to win these games. I think it'll come down to Sunday night as to who wins the series. And I'm going to take the Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, I do think a lot's going to come down to that Crochet game as well. I think it's a game that we have to win if we're going to take two of three. Man, I'll tell you what, though. If somehow we can win that game and Dobbins is able to take two in consecutive starts against the Yankees, I mean, I think that that would absolutely do wonders for our team from a momentum and confidence standpoint, especially with the question marks that we've had with this starting pitching and rotation. But gun to my head, am I betting on that? No.
I think the best that you're going to get out of this series is to win two out of three. That would be the ultimate takeaway because I'd throw the Freed game out. You're just not going to win that game. And as far as the Crochet, to Jeremy's point, you got to win that game. You got to set the tone for the weekend. Yarbrough, we've handled him pretty well throughout his career, especially with the Rays for a number of starts. So I'm not too worried about that game as long as our offense doesn't, you know, completely dissipate from us. The Dobbins game, I've been really happy with the way that he's performed. You know, for a rookie that's come up, you know, he had a couple games in the beginning of the season that, you know, he got a lot of run support. So we thought, well, maybe, you know, no pressure on him and whatnot. But he's been pretty decent. I mean, as a number type, you know, number four, number five type starter, you know, I have no problem with him. And Rodon, we seem to hit him pretty well throughout his career. So I'm not too worried about that one. So those two are your ticket to take the series. I just have no faith in the third game. So I'm going two out of three. I can't believe I'm saying this. I think the Red Sox are going to win two out of three games in this weekend series.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I mean, hell has frozen over.
I was going to say someone get a camera, but we're being recorded right now. So I'm so glad we have this.
Well, I think that wraps it up for tonight's broadcast. Anybody else have any last-minute closing takes or comments?
Go Sox.
Yeah, go Sox.
All right. Well, that was going to do it for tonight. We are the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Please check us out at bastardsofbostonbaseball.com for daily articles written by myself, Chris, and some of our other contributors. And also, please check us out on Twitter and download on podcasts from Apple and Spotify. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.